Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Most of us love a good movie, have a good laugh, maybe even a good cry, swept up by a good story. But are they valuable stories, like Girl Rising? This movie uses the power of storytelling to uplift, inspire, and tell a critical, confronting truth. Girls need education. You might think, well, given here in Australia, but 66 million girls are currently out of school around the world. And the thing is, educating a girl can break the cycle of poverty in just one generation. This movie tells the story of 9 girls from different parts of the world who face heartbreaking injustices. But rather than be victims, each girl breaks the barriers, stands up, and creates change.
I will read. I will study. I will learn. If you try to stop me, I will just try harder. If you stop me, there will be other girls who rise up and take my place. I am change. I am my own master now. I feel as though I have power. Now there's nothing to stop me. I feel I can do anything.
This is really a groundbreaking film, so much so that 9 renowned actresses from Cate Blanchett, Meryl Streep and Anne Hathaway lend their voices to narrate this powerful story. The film has just hit Australian shores, and the director of Partnerships, the group that made Girl Rising, Justin Reeves, is also in town. He's worked tirelessly for the last 3 years to gain global support for the film. Justin, welcome to Open House.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
And congratulations on an amazing film and a vitally important story to tell. Where did this passion start for you, eradicating the injustices for girls around the world?
It started on a personal journey of mine, actually, many years ago. I had lived in South America for about 6 years before moving to New York City to begin working on Girl Rising. And throughout my time working as an educator, an anthropologist, and in NGOs, my work kept shifting towards communities where girls were seemingly left behind. And I started seeing this trend happening over and over in underdeveloped areas of different regions of South America that I was working in. Girls continuously were being marginalized. And the injustice of that just really started bothering me. So I spent a lot of time focusing some of my journalistic work. I got my master's degree in journalism in South America as well on women who had been marginalized by mental illness. I worked at a nonprofit in Santiago, Chile that was offering a wellness center for women who had HIV and AIDS and who were pregnant or victims of rape. And you know, these are very extreme cases to us, or sounding extreme, yeah. But they're very, very common in the developing world.
Why does this happen to girls in particular?
Girls become the most vulnerable, and particularly young adolescent girls around the time of puberty, we find especially vulnerable. Infant mortality is a huge concern, as well as more girls actually die giving childbirth in the world today than from anything else. It's the most common cause of death in developing nations. And so, you know, they're susceptible to gender-based violence, abuse. Through all of this, then you get HIV and AIDS and other diseases. You get early pregnancies, and unfortunately, all of these are barriers that are keeping girls from achieving their full potential. Getting in school, they're not able to go to school once this happens, and ultimately, they become trapped in the same vicious cycle of poverty. And this is really why we made this film.
For all the progress that women and girls have made in the West in recent decades, why are they still so far behind in many other parts of the world?
Well, I think when we look at developing nations and countries where the economies are still struggling, oftentimes girls are relied upon, at least at a younger age, to help bring in an additional income in the family or support raising the family. They're oftentimes relied upon to look after younger children, to help raise younger children, sometimes even neighboring children. They're the ones who are looked upon to help maintain the household, to keep it clean, to cook, to fetch water. It's not as easy as going to a faucet and turning on the water. It's oftentimes a 4-hour journey, 2 hours each way and back to just find some water that may be drinkable. And so, you know, that's a primary reason why girls are left behind, but it's not the only reason. There are 66 million girls out of school and approximately 33 million boys. And we're not saying that we shouldn't care about the boys as well, but we certainly see a disparity in that. And what we're trying to say is that we need to get it so that it's a parity, so that it's equal. And it's clear that girls are facing obstacles that boys are not. As we talked about with the gender issues, with the rape, with the violence, with the early pregnancies, these are issues that boys aren't generally facing. And these are extreme issues that are keeping girls out of school.
You could have done lots of things to highlight this problem, but you've made a movie. Why did you do that?
Clearly, we made a movie because that's what we know how to do best. We're storytellers and we're filmmakers. We feel like the power of storytelling through visual media is the new wave of really progress social change. And if that's our vehicle and that's our core competency, we're going to do our best to get this out into the world the only way we know, and that's through filmmaking. Now, I think it's important to recognize that this film is quite different. And what we attempted to do, and I think we're succeeding so far, we'll see what happens here in Australia, is to reach the mainstream with a film whose topic is not mainstream. Girls' education isn't on the likes of Selena Gomez's Twitter feed or necessarily a lot of these pop stars who have lent their voices to Girl Rising. And that's why it's so important that they've come onto this film.
It's very significant.
They've opened this issue up to a global audience now. We have people who are going to see this film, over 150,000 tickets already sold in the US, and we haven't even launched it globally, that would have never been exposed to this issue and who are now understanding how important it is. And this is really how social change happens at an organic level. You first get people talking about the issue. How do you get them talking about it? Well, you get them to go see Girl Rising.
So the title is Girl Rising. Does that indicate that things are getting better?
100%. We're seeing significant increases in enrollment, particularly in Latin America and certain African countries. That said, we've got a very long ways to go, which is why we're still working on this film. And I mentioned some of the statistics and data before. The numbers of boys versus girls in schools is really unjust. And I think that girls are rising, and we see perfect examples of this time and time again when we meet these girls in the field. Now, the girls that are featured in the stories of Girl Rising are incredible. They're 9 absolutely courageous and beautiful young women who have faced these odds of early marriage, violence, living in conditions of poverty, but they've superseded them. They've somehow found the strength through a vehicle, whether it's their own faith in themselves, faith in a higher being, faith in the education that they were able to receive, to break through these barriers and make significant changes in their communities. And I think it's very important that people realize that when girls are educated, they pass on all of this knowledge to their communities, and they grow their community's economy, and they grow their nation's economy. And it's really a ripple effect that is the best return on investment. If we look at girls as a development issue, the best return on investment that anyone can make is in girls' education.
9 stories. I must say, I found it really difficult to pick out a few to highlight, but I've chosen 4. Take us through the stories briefly. First of Soka from Cambodia.
Soka is phenomenal young girl. So Soka, as many girls in Phnom Penh in Cambodia, are scavengers. So they're children of the dumps. She was orphaned, and she had 3 younger siblings. Soka, by the grace of God, was found by an organization called A New Day Cambodia, which is helping rescue orphan children who live in the garbage dumps and who literally survive off of pennies a day by selling bits of metal and trinkets that they find in the dumps. And Soka was enrolled in school, and she is in school currently. She's, I believe, almost 18 years old now, and she's doing amazing things. I don't want to spoil too much, but yes, it's really that sort of story where somebody who came from absolutely nothing is making waves in her own community.
Hers is a remarkable story, and that's ridiculous even just to say with that word, remarkable. Suma from Nepal.
Suma is a really, really cool example of how one person can catalyze change in another human being, and then that can spawn an entire tradition being eradicated. So Suma comes from a place in Nepal where Kamlari, which is indentured servitude, so parents oftentimes have to sell their children to masters in order to get extra income to survive. And it's very common. It's been illegal in Nepal since 2000, but it's not enforced by the local laws. And Suma was sold at a very young age, I believe 6 years old, into this caste system. I, once again, don't want to spoil too much, but through a very remarkable man named Bimal Sir, Suma starts to learn how to read and write in her early teens. And through a phenomenal woman who is part of a nonprofit organization called Room to Read that is helping girls in Nepal, she learned about her rights, and she learned that it was actually illegal. And this woman freed Suma, and I'll leave the rest of you to find out what Suma does with this knowledge, but it's pretty incredible.
It's worth finding out, well worth finding out. Yasmin from Egypt, tell us about her.
Yasmin, we met on the streets of Cairo, and she is so powerful. You know, she sells tea and tissues on the street with her mother under the bridge. Just before we met Yasmin, she had incurred a very, very horrendous act of sexual violence against her. She was, I believe, 11 years old when we met her. She believes that she's a superhero, which is phenomenal. And she actually arm wrestled one of our producers down, who's in her 30s. She's a very strong young woman. And in her particular community in Cairo, it's very, very uncommon for women to report sexual crimes against them. At a young age, she decided to do this and report it and tell her mother and tell the police about it, which is a phenomenal feat of courage for a young woman, especially living in the society. So another, once again, courageous young woman.
She sure is. Final one that I've picked out of these 9 compelling stories, Mariama from Sierra Leone.
Mariama represents the trend that's happening in a lot of places. And I think Mariama's story is certainly the most uplifting in the entirety of the film. All of the stories are uplifting, and they're all about the value that girls represent. But Mariama is just like any other teenager anywhere else in the world. She happens to live in Freetown, Sierra Leone. She happens to have dreams of becoming a radio show host, which she actually is right now, and she wants to eventually take that and become a live studio TV audience, the first woman in Africa to go to outer space. She has huge dreams, and while she's also, you know, living in a country that's just come out of a very brutal civil war, she's coming from a family, frankly, generations of family who have never been educated. She's the very first person in her family to ever go to school. But it really shows the trend of development dollars working and people really taking advantage of their opportunity to dream. And that's really what girls do. Girls have dreams just like all of us in developing countries. And Mariama really lets us know that in her story.
How hard was it to get actresses like Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway and Cate Blanchett to feature in a movie like this, because it's a very important part of this story?
It's true. And I think from the very beginning, we had a vision of having these stories amplified by the voices of Hollywood talent, because they're really the ones who can reach the audience that we intended for this film to reach. We wanted it to go beyond the development community, beyond the NGO community, beyond the people who already cared, and really get to that point. It's never easy working with these actresses. They're extremely busy.
Yes.
But I tell you that it was phenomenal to find out that all of them were going to lend their voices for free to this film because they truly believed in its message. It took us until we had a very rough cut of the Ethiopia chapter of the film to actually show, which happened to be the first rough cut of all 9 chapters that we had finished. And certainly Meryl Streep was one of our desired voices because of her recognition and her genuinity, and I think just really her talent. So once she saw the rough cut of Ethiopia, although we had asked her several times to participate, it wasn't until she actually saw the rough cut and read the narrative. And I think that the narrative pieces to these stories are so important too, because they're so well written, each one written by a female author from the country. Meryl Streep read that narrative, she saw the rough cut, and within, you know, a couple of days, she said, absolutely, how could I not work on this project? Yeah. Once you get her, the rest follow a little bit easier.
I bet. For her, I'm sure, and for the rest of us, seeing is believing. How high are your hopes that this can bring about some kind of change? Change in minds, change in lives.
A challenge of ours in this, we challenged ourselves, really. We knew that we could tell stories. That's what we've done We had confidence in the director, Richard Robbins, that he could make a good film. He was nominated for an Academy Award for his last film that was in the same style of Girl Rising. What we wanted this film to achieve that was different from anything we had done was have measurable impact on girls' lives yes. on the ground. So we partnered with seven leading nonprofit organizations, World Vision Australia being one of those who has brought this film to this country now. And really what we are intending for the film to do and already seeing it happen in the US is raise money and more than raise money, get conversations started and get people to take actions. And that doesn't always mean opening up a checkbook. There are a lot of children in this world who don't have dollars to give. But there is so much any adolescent child can do to give to this cause that doesn't require money. And at GirlRising.com, we have all sorts of wonderful ideas of ways people can get involved, whether that means you want to sponsor a child, which is a perfect way, and so many Australians already do that, or whether you want to share stories, whether you want to tweet, whether you want to add something to your Facebook. It's about starting a dialogue. That's how social change happens. And, you know, this film has already raised over $2 million for our nonprofit partners in the U.S., and it's only been released since March of 2013. We're on the brink of Australia and the rest of the developed world. I think that we've got a lot of girls' lives to change on the ground.
You bet. So it's already been showing in Australia. Where else is it showing in the future?
So our international premiere was on International Day of the Girl all over the globe in over 60 locations, including Australia, which was on October 11th. We'll be showing the film in Australia a couple more times. We're showing it at the Rivoli Cinema in Camberwell, Melbourne, I believe, at 7 o'clock at the Event Cinema on George Street in Sydney. People can find tickets at worldvision.com.au/girlrising. I know that we've had a really great response so far to the screenings that happened on Friday on Day of the Girl, that we've actually opened up a few additional screenings. So hopefully people can go and check it out. I think it's appropriate for boys and girls, and I need to say that because it's so important our young men understand the value of the girl as well. We will never see long-term change if you don't bring your sons to see this movie. We've had tremendous feedback from young men because there are some very strong male characters in the film. It's called Girl Rising, but there's boys, brothers, neighbors, fathers in the film that do things that change the course of lives for girls. And I would hope that young men could admire those male figures and do the same thing.
I'm sure this has changed and will change the course of many girls' lives. It's a wonderful work, Justin Reeves. Thank you so much indeed for joining us on Open House. GirlRising.com is the website, and we'll put that up on our Open House community Facebook page. Wish you all the best in it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.